Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We've had a lot this week on priorities and true love for the poor and the weak. And the church offers us readings today that call us on even more. The opening prayer says this: Almighty and merciful God, by whose gift you are faithful, offer you right and praiseworthy service. Grant, we pray, that we may hasten without stumbling to receive the things you have promised. I mean, God's promises to us of life everlasting are so far beyond anything that the world can give us. Because the world is more immediate, we get called off balance. We get onto a detour. And you say, well, it makes sense. I put my family first. No, don't put your family first. I know that sounds like a heresy. Put God first. And if you put God first, your family follows right after that. And your family will be well taken care of. But if you're trying to care for your family on your own resources, there's always a limit. Entrust them to the Lord daily. Kids having difficulty in school, or whatever the case may be, relationships, or we're having a difficulty in our relationship, husband and wife, bring it to Jesus. He told you, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavily burdened. I will give you rest. He'll lead us on the true path, the right path. He'll help us. He honestly will. We have to learn how to hear him. And it doesn't mean that he comes down with a, down from heaven and with an umbrella over his head or something to see you. He doesn't do that. He speaks through the scriptures. Sometimes he actually speaks to our hearts. There are all kinds of ways he speaks through friends, good friends. He'll speak to us and you'll say, oh, that's what I haven't thought about, or that's what I haven't paid attention to. There are all kinds of ways that God can speak, and the closer you are to him, the more you will see that. So draw near to him every day. If you don't give God time every day, start out with 10 minutes or 15 minutes. If you can, read the gospel for the day, but take time. And yes, I pray every day. If you pray 2 hours every day, I would be a little concerned as to whether you could take your other responsibilities. But an hour is not out of the question. But start with 5 or 10 minutes, and then let's see where we go with that. Think about that. I'd love to hear from you about that. What are the things that make that impossible? Or what are the things that make that very hard for you? I'd love to hear from you about that. But the first reading today from Paul to the Romans, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. That's the most important thing. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love does no evil to the neighbor. Love is the fulfillment of the law. It's kindness, generosity, offering help. I love it when I hear somebody say, oh, my next-door neighbor is such a support to me. Or my coworker is a real support to me. That's wonderful. If they're leading you in the right way, that's wonderful. I just encourage you, don't get isolated. You're not a disciple when you're isolated. When you're reaching out to others, both to give and to receive, but to give and receive. That order. Once we have that orientation, it will be amazing to you what doors will open. Because that's what God wants of us. Love does no evil to the neighbor. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And it is. Blessed is the man who is gracious and lends to those in need. Psalm 112. I am sure many of you reach out and help those who are in need. But take a look at Psalm 112. Bless the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His posterity shall be mighty upon the earth. The upright generation shall be blessed. He dawns through the darkness, a light for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and just. Well for the man who is gracious and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. Lavishly he gives to the poor. His generosity shall endure forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory. Think of that. Those of you who care for others, you'll see what God's lavishness is like in the kingdom to come. Forever doesn't just mean this life. Forever means forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory. Brothers and sisters, take a look around you. Is there somebody in your neighborhood? Is there someone close to you, a coworker, as I've said before, a good friend? Is there someone suffering in some way? Is there anything else that you could do for them? You certainly can pray, but what else can you do for them? Get your orientation beyond your own little confine and take a look at the world. Take a look at the needs around you and help people. The Gospel of Luke chapter 14, verse 25 says this, great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating, and hating doesn't mean hating in the sense that we use the word hate, but God has to be first. Where is God in my life? If anyone comes to me without hating his father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. God has to be first, even before myself. God has to be first before my spouse. God has to be first before my children. You get that order and priority, your family will be very well cared for because God will bless and help and strengthen. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That doesn't mean hate in the sense that we so often use it, as I've said before. But what's your priority? Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Even when we're in troubled times, come to him. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlooker should laugh at him and say, "Ha, this one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for a peace term. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. Doesn't mean hate in the sense that we use. Might not even mean renounce in the sense that we use it. But it does mean that God's will, God's plan, is first in your life. And you are coming before the Lord every day to ask him, "What is your will for me today? These are my responsibilities, and I believe you want me to carry them out, but is there anything in those that you need to talk to me about? I'm here, Lord, because I want to serve you. I want to love you more and more." That's what God is about. I noticed Jean-Pierre de Caussade. He was a Jesuit priest. He was a writer, and he was a very revered spiritual director. And he said this about that whole situation, renouncing all in order to gain all. This is in part what he said. Those who wish to enjoy the abundance of all goods have but one thing to do, to purify their heart, to detach themselves from created things and abandon themselves entirely to God. In this purity and this abandonment, they will find everything. Let others, Lord, ask all sorts of gifts from you, multiplying their words and their prayers. As for me, I will ask one gift only, and I have only this one prayer to make to you. Give me a pure heart. Think about that. Does your heart belong totally to God? Is he first in your life? Do you consult with him, so to speak, many times a day? Brothers and sisters, I encourage you, because he goes on writing, O you who are pure of heart, how happy you are. You see God in your heart through the vivacity of your faith. You see him in everything and at every moment, working within you and without. You are in all things his subject and his instrument. He leads you in everything and to everything. Often you do not think about it, but he thinks of you. It is enough that you desire what happens and ought to happen to you by his command. He knows how to prepare you for it. In your salutary blindness, you hunt about to discover this desire in yourself, and you cannot see it. He sees it well enough. But how simple you are. Do you not know what a well-disposed heart is? It is nothing but a heart where God is found. What greater happiness than to possess God and be possessed by him? The heart sleeps peacefully on the breast of providence, playing with the divine wisdom like an innocent child, without anxiety about the journey, which continues without interruption. And in spite of rocks or pirates or continual storms, pursues its even way. In other words, no matter what's going on in our life, what challenges we're facing, if we're turning to him and asking him to order our lives, asking him what our priorities ought to be, at least weekly asking the Lord, what should my priorities be? They're all so important. I have to do everything. Wait a minute. Just offer it to God and say, Lord, help me to organize this. Help to show me how to do this, that I might be truly your servant. You know, that's what's crowned in heaven. The true servant of God receives a crown of glory. That's what God has for those who are faithful to him, who listen to him, who bring everything to him. You know, when you had your last difficult situation at work, did you go to God first? When you had the last difficult conversation with your wife or your husband, did you go to God first? Ask him. He's as near to you as your breath. He's right here. He knows you, and he knows what you're asking. Bring it to him. Bring whatever need you have to him. That's not being infantile. That's being mature. We so often exclude him, brothers and sisters. Please don't let that happen in yours. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.